but it's for a reason. For a couple of weeks now, I've been hearing quiet resting places. And I thought, man, that's good. And we can say we're going to rest, but it's like something you have to move into. It's not just speaking it and it comes about. We just have to get through the paces and find those resting places on every realm that we explore. I want to read a little bit out of Isaiah first. I believe it's the 32nd chapter. Says in the first verse, and then I'll skip some verses. I just want to read this because it seemed pertinent to our study today. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And I thought, oh my, if there's ever been a day that kings needed to rule in righteousness. But the next verse is really what I wanted to get to anyway. And one man, a man, shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So I got to thinking about the different folks in the body of Christ that you could call in that category. Or our little group, we are that one man that place it has a hiding place from the wind. We're able to speak to those winds for people. Like Johnny said, if they can hear it. The problem is not with what we say. It's with the interpreter of what we're saying. I look at a computer all day, and this morning I was looking at my printer and saying, oh God, where's John? Because it, you know, you'll put something in like scan, and it gives you all these options that you've never heard of. I'm going, well, which one of these do you choose? Okay, but I muddled through it and got it done all by myself. Good. This time. So anyway, the interpreter is the problem. Let's go on over, though, to verse... Let me see where this should start. Verse 15, it's skipping some things. It just goes back and tells the what ifs in the negative. And I think we all know the what ifs in the negative sense of the word. So we don't need to look at that right now. But verse 15 says, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. Well, if there was ever a picture of that in this age that we moved in to the dawning of the age of Aquarius, is a man with picture. Jesus said, follow that man. When you see that man, you follow the man carrying the picture, knowing that was an unusual sight. Men did not carry water pitchers. That was the woman's work. So when they saw the man carrying the pitcher to prepare for the Last Supper, they followed him to the upper room, and that's exactly what we do. We're following the man that's pouring out a flow, and that living water, that's what it's all about. We're not following anything on TV or some great this or some great that, but a move of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and that's a now thing. And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And we hear all these countries, they are going to be righteous, all right. But they're doing it through war. And I'm going, when do you learn not to war anymore? When you lay all that down, the scripture says, hold your peace and I will fight your battle. Just hold on to your peace and I will fight your battle. So, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness will bring a quietness and an assurance forever. And some of us have those places that we've reached in us when we just know. There's a blessed, blessed assurance. I loved that song, Blessed Assurance. If you never heard Melvin Whittington sing that song, you need to seek him out. I've never seen anybody sing it with any more passion or conviction than Melvin did. He could tear that song up and make you believe it. And my people, listen to this, shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. Don't talk anything about a frenzy or a wildness, but quiet resting places. So that, I guess that's what touched my heart the very, very most about where we are and what he would have for this group in particular. And I was listening to Carolyn and Rokas in their talk about his news, and they kept saying, we're just at peace. And Lord, that blessed me, because the news was not good news in these ears. And we feel at peace, and we're going to back up and see just exactly what Father would have us do. That's a beautiful rest. That's a rest. Roca says, what's going on in my body is not my inner man. My inner man is light and liberty. So that can be going on in my body for some reason. But I'm a being of light. So I choose peace and to be still. That's awesome. But I was already thinking on this at that time. Let's see where I want to go with this now. Okay. Genesis 2 and 2. Because I got to looking at rest in places, and sometimes you get into the Greek and or the Hebrew, and it just doesn't quite take you there because of the interpreter. I mean, King James, I don't think he was illiterate, but he must have been close. He sure didn't have any spiritual connection with the Father, the best I can tell. Because his interpretations were only according to his coloring book, so to speak. He colored it according to his culture, his time, and his age. thank God for people like Bullinger that came along and had a divine connection that can actually interpret the word. And the Aquarian Gospel, if you hadn't read it, it will not hurt you. It is a wonderful little gospel. I'm not saying I eat it all, but it'll take you beyond this realm. And we need to see that sometime outside this little box. We want to draw lines for ourselves and get in a box, and that's a dangerous place to be. Open the shades. Fling everything open wide. Receive, read. It won't hurt you to read anything. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. Come on, don't be afraid. I mean, I can't stand Freud, but I will read him a little bit just to see where he was coming from. And I think we know he never got out of his lower nature, but according to Einstein, Einstein and him were buddies until he saw where Freud was going. He said, "Hey, boy, I'm going to tell you bye. I have some place else to explore," which was smart. Okay.
I noted in that place in Isaiah where you were reading in verse 2 that word wind from which we seek a hiding place. And then in verse 15, the spirit, it's ruach.
Yes.
So it's all spirit. It reminded me of Wendy saying one time that she, you know, just going through a windy time, just, you know, the wind's blowing everything. She said, "Okay, God, just give me a break just for a little while." Because
yes,
she knew it was God's dealings. And that's when we began to recognize that that wind that we want to hide from is God's spirit, as well as those peaceful places.
Yes, indeed.
It can make us able to renovate all places in peaceful places.
Absolutely. It's demonstrated so well in the storm, and Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. And all the disciples are in a frenzy. "Master, we perish." And he stands up and starts walking on the waters. And then blowing every which way. And I'm going, oh, I love that. I love that. Knowing that you're always walking on the waters that are blowing my way, all the waves. You're in the midst of me, you are me. So I have nothing to fear. I can recognize it's a storm like Wendy and say, "Hey, stop." You can say stop to some things. God gives you that power. I think it's wonderful. He just spoke to the wind. Shut up and be still.
So much of our storms that we have, we really place them on ourselves.
I think
so. Some of them, you know, is out of our control, but some of them is. I'll give you an example. 2 days ago, we were out running around doing stuff, and it was her thing, and I was with her. And I have placed in my mind, go get this, 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 and this accomplished. When I'm with her doing her thing, that is not the thing for me to do.
Absolutely.
And what it does, though, when we're out doing things like that, and nothing in my book is getting accomplished, where does that throw me? Puts me in a hell.
Mm-hmm.
When I could just grab that thing and say, "Look, this is not your baby. Relax."
Yes.
You know, so I have a choice to whether to be upset, frustrated, or I can say, "This is not yours. Relax."
I hear you.
Go with the flow.
It's beautiful, you know? Speed.
Stop and smell the roses.
It's really beautiful,
exactly.
Speed. I have been a very driven person in my life, so I identify. But what I'm married to takes a slow, calm, cool, charming approach to everything. Now, he will tackle things, but he's just a slow can-doer. I'll never forget after Frances and I worked together in the daycare. She said, Connie, I've never seen a man like Johnny. He can do anything alone. That probably was born out of not having a mother to stand in the gap for him much. So he learned on his own to just say, I can do this. I can do it alone if I need to. If you want to help, that's cool. If you don't want to help, just get out of the way. You know. And so I learned from him. God gave me a balancer to anchor me to the earth. So I understand. I have been there. And he'd say, hey, that's enough for today. Enough for today. Sit down. Quit being like a jack-in-the-box. Because you know how the woman does. She sits down and gets up, sit down. If y'all don't, I'm surprised, but I do. Down and up, down and up. He'll say, we gonna watch the movie or not? I say, you are. Because I know I'm not. Something hits my brain. But we need the balance. We need to smell the roses. I talked to you, different ones of you. Francis goes for a walk. Karen has 2 or 3 hours alone with Father every morning. That's her thing. John and Suze know how to sit on their deck in the sun and take a break and have a beer. Well, you'll have to erase that, probably, to offend somebody. But anyway, that's what Father's talking about. It's just time to enter into a rest instead of the panic. You want to go, well, this didn't go get done. Well, so what? If it don't get done, it don't get done. Tomorrow the sun's going to shine. And everything's going to be beautiful tomorrow. So learn to stop and enter into those resting places. That's what the Father did. Genesis 2:1 says, thus, well, let me read the 31st verse because I like some of the wording there. And God saw everything that he had made or created, and behold, it was very good. And the evening, notice he's starting with the evening every time. There's a specific reason for us remembering he started with the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. In his creative mind, it was done already. Completely finished, everything. Me, you, everything. It is finished. It's exactly what he said on Calvary. When he was on Calvary, he said, it is finished. And he meant that thing. If we can get a hold of it's finished in us. It's finished. And we're in a new beginning. And all of the host of them, on the seventh day, God ended that which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work he had made. Sure, make plans to do your things. We have to do that. There are things to, in this earth that you have to perform in order for things to keep going. Of course, do your little things. But when it's time to play, play heartily. Have fun. Enjoy. So, God blessed the seventh day. Thus, the Seventh-day Adventists formed them a group, a huge group, saying they were the rest of God. Oh, I beg their pardon. They are not the rest of God, but the rest of God is where we each learn that resting place. So Connie's not kind of finished. It's okay. I'll work on that deal tomorrow. Maybe you're not finished. I mean, I don't have time to worry about your unfinished parts. I'm tending to me. Until we tend to us, you cannot really help anybody else anyway. Not really. You got to take care of your own relationship with yourself. Getting to like yourself. Look at your undiscovered parts. Not through any religious eyes. That's a misinterpretation of God when we use the law in a negative sense. It's no good. So he rested, and what I liked was, I finally got to this word. Rested means, he says, I'm going to cause an interruption. I'm just going to sit on the deck and have me a bottle of wine. That's what he said here. Rested means intermission. Wait a minute. Take an intermission. Take Don talk this time out. Talking about the snake, whoever Kenneth, whatever that quarterback's name was, that played for Oklahoma. Help me here.
Stabler.
Anyway, they called him the snake because of the way he played. And he would call time out. And this is what God is doing in us. Take a time out. Now we've learned to say, take a break. That's what we say to each other. Give it a break. You know, give each other a break. I think it's awesome. Okay. What I really wanted to get to, and it's probably not going to be a long teaching. Let's look at Joel just for a minute. The chapter 2 in Joel. He talks about all the things he's going to do. Do not fear, O land. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do great things. He is doing great things. He has done great things. And he's always going to do great things. He says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And this is happening all over the world. People are breaking away from all of their traditions, and some of it's good and some of it isn't, breaking away from any kind of religious mode, so to speak, and I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see it, because a lot of it is leading toward a freedom of knowing who they are in Him. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Did he say Pentecostals, Baptists? Listen to me, folks. He said all flesh. Mm-hmm. That means Islam. If they ever need it, dear God, they need it now. all of these things, all these countries that are going through such a turmoil. I mean, I can't get over Egypt. No wonder its name means bondage. It's been there for so long, it loves it. So it keeps doing things to get itself in more bondage. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Well, we're all young men, so to speak, here, because we see the vision way beyond today. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I think that's enough of that to read. It's just a proof verse. And this is kind of what I wanted to get to in Song of Solomon. I was had Rochus on my mind in particular, and the heart issue that he was laid upon him, and wondering, you know, Lord, how do we respond? Of course, he was responding in peace, and I was glad for that. But all of us have had cancer experiences with different ones, so it's a big booger to us. And we all have handled it in various ways. And some have lived for a while, some haven't. So anyway, the beauty of this song to me is because this is my relationship with the Christ in me. That's what this is about. And Solomon, he's got all these women. 700 wives, 300 concubines, or may have that backwards, I don't know, but he's got a different wife to have sex with every day, if he is a mind to and is able to function in that realm. And I'm wondering about that, but anyway, she says she's not speaking of him here. But the shepherd, immediately she's talking about the shepherd because she met the shepherd. Her brothers are shepherds. And she was a shepherdess because she said, they made me a keeper of their sheep. I didn't know how to keep my own. And I see people doing that all over the world. And that's a realm if you want to live in it. But I want to keep my own sheep. You keep your sheep. And I'll keep mine. And that's what she's talking about. They wanted me to keep their sheep. Well, I can't do that. She's not going to do that. Don't you love that about her?
Mm-hmm.
First off, she knew she was not a cookie cutter person. Don't you like that? Don't put me in a cookie cutter. Anyway. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I want these juices to flow together. I want them to get all down in my throat, all a part of me and every cell of my body. I want him to kiss me deeply, beautifully. You talk about French kissing, worse than that. And for your love is better than wine, it intoxicates me. And that, I've never come down here on Sunday, that immediately when we sit down and begin to sing, that's what I feel, intoxicated. And I'm going, thank you. I feel it other times too. I feel it in my living room. I'm alone and I dance before the Lord. At least I can stand up and dance still and praise him and worship him. That's not for any show. And I may do it down here one day. You just wait for me to cut loose till I get ready to do it. I'll do it. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, the precious smell. I told you this day and time we're hearing all kinds of teachings. Heavy anointings. Fiery personalities. Not fiery personalities. Doesn't matter. But when they get done, it don't smell good. I have a little problem with that. It's supposed to smell really good. It should smell wonderful. That's what draws us. But when some are done, it just got a little taint to it. And I'm going, how did the skunk get in there? Don't take long to detect that bad smell. So it's anointed, but it ain't going nowhere. It's not ministering out of relationship. Like Suze is real good. She can put her finger on it. I mean, she's pistol back and beat. Anyway, and I like that about her. She can put finger on it. That's what it is right there. That person doesn't care anything about relationship with God and each other. Early on in this worship group, God married us. me and Karen didn't even know what heavenly marriage was when we met each other. And Speed and Francis and I and Johnny and I didn't know about heavenly marriage. And God married us. So we answered to each other. We didn't know why. I mean, they didn't come ask me if they could buy groceries and stuff like that that discipleship required. I mean, if you breathe in discipleship, you had to tell your shepherd. And I'm going, I'm too hard-headed for that. I just can't stand that kind of thing. But it did help them with discipline to get through that and know what was and wasn't. So it was a good place. And her, she was green as they come because she was a Lutheran. And she hadn't had all the tanning that us Pentecostals got. We got plenty of that in the church, you know. Anyway, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy nature is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Some people you're just attracted to, very attracted to them. I want to smell good. I'm talking about spiritually. I want to smell good. I want to invite people to smell what I am if I just walk by them or through them a minute. I felt good standing next to her. Something about them frees me. You know what I'm saying. I feel that from each of you. To some measure. She says, oh, just draw me. And I've said that many times to Jesus. God, I want to feel you. It's like she said, I want to feel his presence. I want to feel him. He is a living being, you know. You can feel, you can entice his presence by just saying that in your heart. Saying the word Jesus, if you could see what was enacted around you in those unseen realms, when you say that with a reverence, it causes things to go in motion. It's a little better than swearing. I mean, just about 20 tads. Draw me and I will run after you. Indeed, I'll never forget in our lives the different earmarks and the different times that we were so hungry to grow. He'd stick somebody in our path. If all of you told me your story, it'd be the same as ours. Somebody in your path to help you move to that other realm. Just bring them into your audience to help you grow. The king, now he brought me in his chambers, we all been there, will be glad and rejoice in thee, she's telling the shepherd. We will remember your love more than wine, because it gives me that little, just a little tipsy state. I can drink anything, but if I drink wine, after three little swallows, my tongue begins to get loose as a goose. And I got enough mouth for about five rows of teeth in because it wants to talk. And I think, you know, I meet people say, well, I only have this and only have that. And I think, well, you need to really get drunk, person, and get free. Just get drunk sometime. You'll enjoy it. Let go. The upright love thee. And that's in, I think God writes that on the tables of every man's heart. There's an uprightness inside of us that loves uprightness. I love this one. It makes me want to weep, but I love it. Oh, yes, I'm black. because I've been out there on the mountainside keeping the sheep. So my skin is very dark. Remember, she's a Shulamite. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem, I'm as black as the tents of Kedar and the curtains in Solomon's house. Awesome. That's the death to self in that curtain, you see. In the curtains, we have the fine twine linen, and then we have the black curtain that's 11 feet or whatever it is. It's 11, which speaks of not a finished order, but death to self. Then brings us to the next covering, and that's a very personal thing. That's very personal, just like the fine twine linen. If we can ever get Suze to share on the grain beaten small, you'll see what we're talking about. You may already know. Maybe you got something to tell me. Anyway, she says, I'm black, but I know I'm black. And you daughters of Jerusalem, you've been bathing in milk and honey and staying out of the sun, but I've been out there in the sun, so I've been exposed. Don't you love it? It's good to be exposed. Look not upon me because I am black. The sun hath looked upon me. She had a relationship with that thing. She went through the different stages of tanning, keeping the sheep, so to speak. My mother's children, her brothers, she had brothers that were very jealous of her and wanted her to go to Solomon's harem. They instructed her to go that way. That is so self-righteous, folks. Don't do that to people. Go get in the church right now. Oh my God, don't go to church yet. You're not ready to go to church unless you can find one that's free. Don't put them in church. It makes them twice the child of hell that they were to begin with. Keep them out of that, but find a worship where there's a true worship that worships in spirit and truth. She says, well, they made me a keeper of the vineyards. My own vineyard I have not kept, talking about the wine, although she was a shepherdess too. Now this is what I'm trying to get to here in the teaching today. Tell me where. She says, tell me, O thou whom my soul, the animated part of me, has nothing to do with my spirit. It talks about the divine feminine here. Look it up in every way you want to, in every part of me that misses the mark. Tell me whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where do you make your flock to rest at noon? Noontime, hot sun, shepherd gets under some kind of tree or bush. Blows his flute. It's time to rest. Call a break. Noontime. Awesome. Why should I be one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And that takes us right back to this that Francie taught on. I'll give us all one to look at. Just pay some out speed. When she was teaching on the polar opposites, I'll have to have one. I don't know what I'm doing. I know she was teaching on polar opposites on her vein, which is gorgeous. But my mind exploded. If you will look at the first set, where it starts over here on the left with Leo. Gemini, Taurus, Aries, and Pisces. We will call that God's evening. And the evening and the morning were the first day. But he said he was done with creating. He just wanted us to see a type there. He said, you just give me 40 acres. I'm going to turn this rig around. Okay. Look at the age of Aquarius. And then look at this thing like a cosmic clock. It's the way Rokas teaches it. Awesome. This is the darkness, the evening over here. And the morning, where does it begin? At 12 o'clock noon, where is the flock resting? There's no shadows at noon. Where do you make your flock rest when there's no shadow or variableness of turning? That's in you and I when that clock's straight up and down, just like we've been talking about here. We not only are talking it, we're embracing this. Can you hear me? What I am saying this evening and morning, the rest of time is all has to do with the dawning in the age of Aquarius above the line. This is God's morning. And it's going to be morning until the 12 ages are finished. Do you hear me? Mm-hmm. And we can look for awakening, and we can look like light to come that we've never dreamed or seen before. And it's never going to end because it was God's plan from the beginning for it to finish over here in Pisces when the church was shackled. You do remember that, don't you? God had Jesus Christ to be born in Aries, the Lamb. Why not? Look at this. Actually, the moon is in Aries right now. This is where we are. And look what Aries does to Medusa. She loses her head. And look what he does with this great water serpent. He's the Lamb, mature, with his foot on the line that controls everything. God was getting us ready in that age when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, at 3 o'clock, like Rokas talked. Awesome. The darkest time of the morning or the night, Jesus came on the scene. Mm-hmm. No wonder people trying to get rid of him. How jealous could they be of their own self? Look where the woman is when Jesus is on the throne. I mean, she don't take no stuff. If you have to live with me, I got some of that. Most dairies have a little thing that'll go, I know how to get to the top of the mountain. You can stay down there if you want to. Because she's in the throne room. But all mankind could not stand that. So when Pisces came along, they shackled her. They put her in Andromeda, and she was in chains. And the divine feminine was allowed no expression. It took us a while to come out of the dark ages for that. But she's finally out of that box, so to speak. So, I don't know where I want to go with any more with this. I think I'm about to get through. Just wanted to point that out for us. The house of Aquarius, yeah, I will say this. This is the house of friends, hopes, wishes, or prayers, if you want to interpret it spiritually. In the house of I know, coming out of the knowing. Beautiful house. Then it moves on to the next age that we will live in after this, and you talk about people walking straight, they better, because Capricorn heads all government ruled by Saturn. And you better be able to put it in your feet with a Capricornian. The struggle will get finished right here, because it means to wrestle. Capricornians know that you have to do something. You have to bear a responsibility. So mankind, I feel, by this age, will come into a personal responsibility that is desperately needed. Desperately needed. And it will affect the governments wherever they are, because they will be taking responsibility. So I'm saying you will never be able to live in that age if you can't live in this one. And then the next age after that is the age of Sagittarius, the house of mental exploration and far travel. It means I see. Some of you have a lot of, in your charts, have a lot of this house in your charts. Rochus and Carolyn's chart, they were both born in the ninth house. I have to laugh. So Johnny and Speed said he's out there the first time I met him. Yeah, he was out there. Way out there. Okay. Then we will move to the age of Scorpio, but it'll no longer be Scorpio, because having developed over here, all of the house of Libra will move and change places and be right here. It'll be the house of the priest, because all judgment is finished. When judgment is finished, how man judges, we each take little things and we judge it according to our experiences. I've told you that. We do. So by the time we give somebody a book, it's colored. I'm going, would you let me color in my own book, please? I like to do my own coloring. And people color outside the lines. I never did do that when I was a child. That's the first thing I wanted to do, was never color outside the lines. Some kids don't care. I know we had a daycare. Some of those little boys, they'd draw everywhere on the wall. Well, girls too. And you're going, why don't you want to make it pretty? No, I mean, if you just stay inside the lines, it looks pretty. Let me color my book. You can color yours. Now you ask me later after you got yours colored, and I'll tell you if mine looks like yours or not. Anyway, this will be a beautiful thing, not what we see now. Right now it's called the house of death and regeneration. It's the eighth house. But it will have changed from this, remembering. There is no Dan in the destiny order. There is no Scorpio. So some of us who really deal with Scorpio here, because we're finishing it for us. It will never be in another life for us, because we will have finished that personal judgment and only used the divine. I want to live there. And then it goes on and on, and I won't explain more, because there's no reason to get into that, except I will say this. The house of Taurus is a divided house. It's the house of Ephraim and Manasseh, the house of money, and I have. And remember, Ephraim was the rebellious heifer. So he will not be part of this either. It will all be Manasseh, which means causing to forget. Forget the wrong that was done you 50 years ago or 40 years ago. Lord, when people live in that place, I'm going, my God, you're like an albatross for yourself. Let it go. Forget it. And move on to causing to forget. Beautiful. Anyway, that's just a little bit. It will be the 12. Hi, Morgan. And at the end, but it will not be any of the rebellious house, which has to do, remember we did the house of I will, seeing that it was for party, and how many times the bull changed till it had no personal will of its own. Its will had become the Father's will. So that's wonderful.
Connie, in describing these with the little words, you were talking about the will being dealt with in Taurus, but it's finished in Leo.
Yes.
Leo says, I will do the will of the Father.
That is because that's one of the reasons he said, I'll send Judah first. Because Judah, well, let's just read his prophecy in the 49th chapter. God said more about Judah than any of the others in the prophecy. 49th chapter of Genesis. And the 8th verse. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down to thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who will rouse him up? The emotion of the father. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. The lawgiver had to do with Moses, and it's departed from our feet already because we know better than the law of Moses. It was great and precious promises, not like Johnny said, God standing there waiting to beat you every time you miss something. He's not that kind of father. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal into the vine, and his ass's coat into the joist vine. He washed the garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be by honey, red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Just think about it. And then he makes Judah the head of the camp. We're sending Judah first. Why? Just like you said. Say it again, France.
His, the strength and scheme of his whole sign is I will.
Yes, I will. And it's emotional, but it's unclean. Too funny. God takes an unclean animal that can't swim. Lions can't swim, you know. You need to remember that. That's why it's so important that they're flanked by who they're flanked by in the camping order. In the camping order, they're flanked by water and an earth sign. And Virgo has a ship. The ship's in it. It's Zebulon that help him get there. That whole eastern camp is like one. So you send that camp first and you'll win the victory. Why, I see people all over the land, Christian people, people in this, that do not know how to march. They don't know they're supposed to send Judah first. So they send everything else first and nothing gets done or dealt with. And you're wanting to go, okay. Looks like people could get that straight. It's a simple verse. Send Judah first. Send the finished work first, just like she said. Send the seraphim laying down the sword just lay down the sword and let it be done. I'm finished.